quiet.
It's two out of three ain't bad. Meatloaf.
Has anyone ever eaten meatloaf?
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Lee Parson Chill.
Wee.
I got that.
Yeah. It's an interesting day where there's lots of news going on today.
Yeah.
The day you're listening to this, potentially, it's Gutty's birthday.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Happy birthday, Gutty. Yeah. How old are you, Gutty? He's like 14.
I'm turning the big old 23.
23.
Yes.
Make me feel old. Sorry, Ted.
I don't feel old, so don't apologize. Feel sorry for yourself.
Didn't until now.
Yeah. And on top of that, the internet hates Tom.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Hey.
It's Tom who just asked us not to speak about this 5 minutes ago. But go on.
We're broadcasting, presumably, nationally. Internet hates Tom today. Yeah, he made a cricket video that I thought was genuinely very, very funny.
It was a little different.
Yeah, but who's your favourite comedian, that Mexican dude?
Don't you dare pair me with him.
You're the George Lopez of the
Oh, God. That's the best insult of the day.
So congratulations.
Oh, God.
I believe one of the comments renamed Fox Sports Australia Cringe Sports Australia.
Yeah.
Wasn't a smart one, but it would have hurt.
It did.
I heard people were even asking for your position at Fox Sports.
Everyone was like, I want to be the intern at Fox Sports.
That might not have been the worst mistake that we made on our Facebook page today, though, because the person who was in charge of the Facebook page this morning said Taco Fall was 2.3 centimetres.
Yeah.
Which Taco Fall is 7'6", which is 230 centimeters. 2.3 centimeters is extremely tiny.
That's an inch, pretty much. Yeah.
That's basically an inch.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's Zion like Williamson.
First trimester.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So if you saw our Facebook page, like, no, Zion Williamson did not just get
bully a 2 centimeter man.
Right. That's not impressive.
That was his high school career.
All right, so that's our news for the day, I guess.
Sure. I mean,
that's
other stuff.
Yeah,
that's,
sure.
No, that's interesting.
Yeah.
The other big news this week, I guess, and it's something that we've obviously tracked the entire season, the Lakers are now officially out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
They had been out of the playoffs, you know, effectively for the past few weeks. It became official with a loss against the Nets.
D'Angelo Russell.
Against D'Angelo Russell, who shushed the crowd.
Yes.
Which was very, very
cool.
I do love that. LeBron said some stuff about, you know, this isn't what we signed up for, that sort of thing.
Yep.
I mean, bro, it kind of is.
It's exactly what you signed up for.
Yeah, and it's a bit rich considering, like, those young guys in the team. It literally isn't what they signed up for.
Yeah.
Because when they got there, you weren't there, my guy. So he brought this circus to LA. And, but what was their record last year?
It was less than, I think.
It was worse.
It was definitely worse.
I think it's they only gained like 2 games or something like that.
They have not improved like most of us thought we would. Mm. But in saying that, some people at the start of the season didn't think the Lakers would make the playoffs. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So I
wasn't sure about it when we had that discussion.
So I feel like most of us. Most of us were like, They shouldn't make the playoffs, but Bron, like, you can't count out LeBron.
I think that was
a lot of people's thinking, I think.
I thought the majority had them in the 8th or 7th seed for sure.
Yeah, okay.
It's majority LeBron. Did because, you can't bet against – well, you thought you couldn't bet against LeBron.
Yeah.
But at the start of the season, it came with that discussion of, well, they're going to have to try figure out a way to make Michael Beasley work and make Lance Stevenson work and make Rajon Rondo work. And that was kind of like, we don't really know how, but if they make the playoffs, they're going to have to do it. They didn't do it. They didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Michael Beasley just went to China.
Yeah. No one really discussed
that.
No one
really cared.
That really didn't move the needle for anyone's news cycle, I don't think.
Well, it's been such a crazy year with news as well. Like some big teams failing, being on roller coasters throughout the season. Mm. OKC, Houston, the Celtics. Yeah, Beasley didn't get a run amongst them.
And the biggest news of the week is the Jimmer
Fredette. Yeah, I was about to say. I was like,
back in the NBA, baby.
Talking about China.
Speaking about China.
Yep.
Jimmer. My boy Jimmer is back in the NBA. Played 4 minutes the other day. Great.
Sit still, Tom. Try and contain your excitement.
I have no idea what this means.
I think he was averaging like 36 points a game in China.
Yeah.
Now he's going to come. He's going to play 4 minutes in the NBA.
I like that equates to 4 minutes. That's good.
I mean, Jimmer, that was very cool news when it came out. Hey,
oh,
just
so excited.
Jimmer signing with the Suns. And I think a lot of us just thought, oh, Jimmer with the Suns, he's their starting point guard and we'll play 40 minutes now and they finally have a point guard. Mm. That's obviously not the case.
Well, it might still.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, he's learned the
hope it's the case just for our entertainment.
Speaking of point guards and while we're on that Lakers loss to the Nets, back to Russell, who is just... Remember the start of the year, Harrison questioned Russell and said he has to improve, otherwise he could be a potential bust.
Yeah, big time. Contract year as well.
This was his year. If he didn't perform this year, it was getting iffy for him.
He had that fourth quarter comeback. Who was that against?
Sacramento.
It was 24 in the fourth, 25 going into the fourth.
They're the fourth team since 1955 to ever do that.
Oh,
they were down by plus 30 in the third quarter.
I think it was 28.
Okay.
There was the biggest. But I know this stat because I was covering the game. So it was three teams had done it before them out of 3,031 such situations.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was a proper miracle comeback.
And it was all Russell. And he's so good to watch when he attacks the ring because he's not an electric athlete.
He's smooth.
Exactly right.
He's got that Ingles smoothness about
him. Yeah.
A lefty. Yeah. Another classic lefty. Yeah. But in terms of what Harrison was saying at the start of the year that he has to improve, he is up in every statistical category. Minutes, he's up by 5 points. He's up by 5 points.
Mm.
Field goal percentage is up by 2.5. 3-point field goal percentage is up by 4.5. He's even up on assist. So
and he was an all-star this year.
Yeah. So, good on him.
By injury. But.
But with that said, I think it's a bit cheap to say, oh, the Lakers have really messed this up, because there's no way we can say this improvement would have happened if he stayed at the Lakers. There have been numerous... retired NBA players that say you cannot, not everyone can play in LA. There's a chance that he fits that bill, and there's a chance that him moving from the Lakers to the Nets was great for his career.
He also had a difficult end at the Lakers as well. That whole thing happened with Nick Young.
It was his own mess too.
Yeah, the team wasn't like him. I think this is kind of like a change of scenery, a change of lifestyle for him. And he was also given more of a role in the team when he got to the Nets as well, because he was one of their only star players.
He was basically handed the keys to this Nets team
by
a coach who... clearly embraces young talent. Whereas if he stayed at the Lakers, there's a good chance he plays off the ball, doesn't have the ball in his hands as much. There's a good chance he doesn't turn into the player that he is now. So it's almost like, I guess you can somewhat berate the Lakers for letting him walk.
On paper, yeah.
Right. And it's the same with Brooke Lopez. There's no...
And Julius Randle.
Right. So it's very difficult to say that it was a bad decision because of the situations that these respective people went to.
The decision made sense at the time, especially with Lonzo coming in and all the hype. So
right, and I guess it's kind of fair to say that the Lakers could be in the playoff picture if Lonzo didn't get injured and if LeBron didn't get injured.
Yeah,
that's fair.
But I think it is an indictment on the culture in that Lakers team. That is the problem, because since the Kobe days, since the good Kobe days, let's say, it's not like they've been this really successful team with a lot of pressure to win. So D'Lo wasn't there and people were going why aren't we winning, sort of thing. He did have kind of the keys to that offense when he came in. I know Kobe was still there, but it was kind of we're putting out all our eggs into the, not all our eggs, but we're banking on Russell being a good player. And they gave up on him really quickly. It was a tough start for him, but essentially, once Kobe retired, it should have been that situation for D'Lo that he has now in Brooklyn. A bunch of young players around him.
This is his team.
Mm-hmm. His team, and it should have been a culture that was set up to try and, win that way.
And he was also a victim of Magic saying, Lakers, this is my team now. Mm. Magic wanted to put his fingerprint on that roster straight away, and bringing in Lonzo and getting rid of Russell did that to a T. But, death to the Lakers, I guess. Season done.
And obviously part of that, Lonzo was injured. Lonzo went into that starting point guard role instead of D'Angelo Russell, obviously. And Lonzo's in a bit of strife.
Yeah. Bit of drama.
look, I don't think we have to get too specific with it all because it is very in the weeds.
Yeah, we could just pretend like I know nothing of this story and you can just tell me it. Let's pretend that.
So, Ted, did you want to tell us about the Lonzo Ball, Alan Foster
situation? No, I'm the audience. Let's be clear on that.
So, basically, there is this man, Alan Foster, who was a part of the Big Baller organization.
Yeah.
He was a confidant of LaVar Ball. So he
he's a right-hand man.
Right. So, he was a part of this family, I guess.
Mm.
He reportedly was either taking or stealing or not inputting money from the company.
So none of those things have to be mutually exclusive. So
I don't know if this is the word, but I just want to say embezzling. Was he embezzling?
That's sounds like he was having a bit of embezzling.
It's one of the all-time words.
Classic embezzle from.
I just think of like guzzling money because embezzle, guzzle.
Yeah. Sure. It was around $1.6 million that he was, I guess, allegedly stealing from the company.
Yeah.
So it wasn't on the books. Lonzo was like, oh, shit, where's this money? And so he decided, you know, this is a toxic environment I don't want to be a part of. He is no longer part of the Big Baller brand. Mm.
Whoa.
He's going to sign with Nike.
He'll sign with Nike. And to put into context, this is crazy as well. So Lonzo Ball unfollowed all of Big Baller brands and whatnot on social media.
That's your dad, bro.
LiAngelo Ball did as well. LaMelo Ball did too. When Lonzo posted on Instagram saying, you know, finally I'm free, something like that, LaMelo Ball commented saying, thanks for freeing us, bro.
It was some sort of cult.
Wow. Proper crazy stuff that these kids couldn't get out of because LaVar Ball is this, you know, this
dude. Are we surprised?
No, not at all.
It kind of had to end like this, right? Yeah. And by the way, for you at home, if you don't know what Alan Foster looks like, Google it because I've got a take. He's essentially like the guy
these
in those...
Do it. Ted and Tom.
Yeah, we've currently just Googled
in those like kind of bad, low-budget Hollywood movies where like the script hasn't really been fleshed out a lot and you start watching and in the first 10 minutes you know who the bad guy is and what that twist is going to be. Alan Foster looks like that dude. Like he looks like the dude you instantly know is going to be the bad guy.
Like when James Bond's friend has a scar on his face.
He's just got that classic like slime ball thing to him.
He does.
So yeah, no surprises for me because I saw this one coming. The second I saw him, I was like, that man is the antagonist.
Also, you can just imagine anyone named Alan Foster as part of your company. Mm. You know that that name is going to be on the front page of a newspaper somewhere with the word embezzle next to it. Like that's the way.
If it's correct, yes.
Which guy is he?
That one.
That's the guy. That one. You're looking at him. Okay. The top dude.
That dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That man.
You can see it in his eyes. Like he's lying to you all the time.
No, he looks like a door-to-door salesman.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. See? Mm. I like that you've agreed with me.
See, look, it appears as though the Ball children are out of the Big Baller brand company and... At least Lonzo is probably headed.
Sounds
for
like
Nike.
LaVar really dropped the ball on that one.
It's going to have to change the name to the No Balls brand. Is there No Balls in
it? Yeah, sure. Do shoes and vasectomies.
Okay. That's not what a vasectomy is.
What's the one I'm thinking of?
Yes, my dad still has his test.
Castration. That's a very, two very, very different things.
Oh, well.
We're gonna have to accompany you to doctor's office just in case.
Just in case.
Oh, God.
One vasectomy, please.
Wow.
All right, speaking of the Lakers, last thing on them. There's a report out today by ESPN.
Woj.
Was it? Adrian Wojnarowski. Yes, Adrian Wojnarowski reported that Jason Kidd is on the Los Angeles Lakers' radar should Luke Walton be dismissed at the end of the season.
Is it a strong chance or something like that? It was very strong wording.
Yeah, it was almost as though it was inevitable that Jason Kidd would be among the front runners should Luke Walton be dismissed.
What the hell?
It's just them essentially doing what Cleveland did with Tyronn Lue. It's just giving the team to LeBron, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but it's also like so bizarre that it kind of makes sense. Like with all the other signings they've made since it was announced that LeBron was coming, like McGee, Stevenson, now Kidd. It's like, yeah, okay. Well, at least they're consistent with their pattern of like just
crazy
bizarre
decisions.
Off the wall selections.
Yeah, I think like we might be overthinking this to the point with as Tom was saying, it's kind of like. The most important thing you can do in terms of acquiring a coach for a LeBron James team is just get him on board with whoever you've hired. However, this is a guy that has been categorically exposed this season by the Milwaukee Bucks and what they've been doing under Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah, there's a chance he was coaching the best team in the NBA last year into not making the playoffs.
Well, no, they made the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, but didn't they get rid of Kidd through the season, or did he see out the season?
But yeah, no, this is a guy that was like the only person that couldn't see that Giannis needed to be surrounded by shooters and they needed to play that sort of style of basketball. So logistically, logically, I don't get it, but maybe all you really need to do is make LeBron happy. And if LeBron wants Jason Kidd, then that might be all that matters.
He's basically, have you seen Ed, the Whoopi Goldberg movie, where she gets to coach for a day?
Oh, I thought that was the one where the horse is the kicker.
No.
What's that one?
Ed is where Whoopi Goldberg's, for some reason, her name's Ed. Must be Edwina, obviously. She wins a competition where she's the New York Knicks coach for a day, and she ends up getting an extended role, but she's originally hired as a puppet coach.
Wait, is this a real movie?
It's a real movie. Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah, it's a real movie, and it's got real basketball players in it.
Question.
Yes.
Would Whoopi Goldberg win or lose more? Like, would she lose more games with this current Knicks team? Like, they've won 14 games this year. Would Whoopi Goldberg had been so bad that they would have lost? Won less than 14?
I was going to suggest for her to put her name in the running for the Lakers job. Why not make a reality sequel to the movie, and just also the Lakers could admit what they're doing. Like, extending to what Tom said, they're just putting in a puppet coach, an ex player, someone.
Do we know if LeBron's a fan of Whoopi?
Eddie. Ed is the one where the monkey is a pitcher, and then Eddie is the one where Whoopi Goldberg is
Which
coach.
One is the one where the horse is the kicker?
Okay, he's getting Air Bud mixed up with Mr. Ed for that other one, but yeah, he's just going to be a puppet coach. He's obviously not getting there because of what his resume as a coach. It can't be. And his reputation as a player has taken a hit because his coaching was so poor. That's how weird this decision is.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a hot take or just something I've just considered, a conspiracy theory.
I like this.
Is LeBron James afraid of coaches with hair? Because...
David Blatt.
Left.
Get out of here.
Tyronn Lue is clearly a balding man, if not just doesn't have a lot of hair.
Yeah.
He was a huge fan of him. Came to the Lakers. Luke Walton's got a great head of hair. One of the all-time.
Another one and done.
And now they want Tyronn Lue or Jason Kidd.
Who was the Cleveland coach back in the day as well?
Mike Brown.
Another bald. There we go.
Does that mean that Eric Spoelstra was wearing a toupee?
No. LeBron wanted Spoelstra out. But LeBron doesn't have that power in Miami.
Is that a thing? Is he kind of he's losing his hair a little bit of a receding hairline, and he's like, I don't want my coach.
He's so funny.
LeBron doesn't want to be more bald than his coach.
But if this is true, that really puts a dagger in the Whoopi Goldberg plan. Because
that's true.
He's going to feel real inferior with her.
Well, if the Lakers take himself seriously.
that's really funny. They don't.
Also, it was Gus, the movie with the kicking horse. It was Gus.
Why are all of these movies just one word and one name? Yes. Eddie and Gus.
We spent so much time on Whoopi Goldberg, current person who co-hosts The View. Is
she on The View now?
Nah, she's
been forever.
Is she still on it?
The View. Rosie O'Donnell's the one that left.
She left, yeah. Ooh. Is it weird that I can tell you every host of The View?
Yes.
Yes, and done.
Yes, it is.
It'd be weird for the audience.
Abby Huntsman.
Nobody knows.
Anna Navarro's on right now, and then it's like Sunny Hostin and Meghan McCain.
Okay.
Whoopi Goldberg just came back from like a serious illness, so prayers up to her.
See, I think for me it wasn't surprising, but I feel like the audience doesn't know like Olgan's secret life.
Yeah.
That is like
secret.
It makes sense to us.
Absolutely.
Olgan is not who you think.
Should we tag Whoopi Goldberg in the link for this podcast?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because thoughts out to her. She's come back from a serious illness. She's back now and she's firing as usual.
And Sister Act was on point.
Sister Act 2 was great too. Lauryn Hill, come on now.
Basketball.
Every time. All right, so speaking of the Lakers and LeBron... It was not that long ago that Trae Young hit a game winner against the Sixers. Somehow the Hawks keep beating the Sixers, which is absurd.
And the Sixers still can't defend point guards, which is also absurd and not ideal heading into the playoffs.
Ben Simmons is so much bigger than him.
Yeah, Ben Simmons isn't defending the point guard, though.
Ben Simmons defends point guard for a tiny amount, so does Jimmy Butler, but they don't have anyone who can consistently defend dynamic, you know, speedy guards.
Yeah, that young game in went over Jimmy. Jimmy was guarding Young on the final play.
So after Trae Young hit that game winner, he threw out the LeBron celebration.
The silencer.
The silencer thing. Now, I feel like this is discussion worthy. Is that wanky to do the celebration of a player who's still active?
I don't think it's wanky. I think it's soft. It's like,
it's just uncreative.
I want to be like Trae Young thinks he's a star, rightly so. He is. LeBron James is a star in the league right now. He's just hit a game winner against an Eastern Conference contender. Why are you pulling out a fellow rival, a fellow star's celebration? Get your own.
Because it's like I get a lot of the young players would have looked up to guys like LeBron and like even Vince, and I understand that just because when you're 16 years old, you're looking up to the dudes who are in the league.
Sure.
If you're in the league 3 years later, you know, those guys are still in the NBA. So I get that. There is a sense that if you go up and play against LeBron, you've already exposed yourself as a LeBron fanboy, as opposed to someone who should be thinking as yourself, at his level.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. I'm too old to think like this, but people of that ilk, Trae Young and whatnot, they consider themselves as a brand.
Sure.
Like if you want to consider yourself a brand, be your own brand. That'll be the tip. Mm. But in saying that, do you think it was premeditated? Like he goes into the game thinking, I might pull this out?
Because if that's practiced,
I think it's a spur of the moment kind of thing.
Well, if it's spur of the moment, it could be a combination of being young and being under the team.
Like he probably does it in the gym when he's just practicing stuff counting down the seconds.
Well, we don't make good decisions when we're tired and under fatigue. Mm. So I could give him a pass on that. If it's premeditated, I'd say, dude,
it's weird.
Like, you know, not every 19-year-old makes poor decisions, but some do. Mm. I'd say, you know, you're a 19-year-old making
when do these guys questionable decision. Like, choreograph these moves?
Even handshakes.
Like, no, when are they doing this?
100%. Even handshakes.
Yeah.
LeBron has a handshake with every single teammate. That takes time.
Yeah, but you know how we have jobs? Like when they play for 40, 50 minutes or over the span of an hour, that's their job. The other 23 hours of the day, they can do whatever
Plus
they want.
Plus, most of that day is spent traveling around the world, around the country. With each other. Together. Yeah.
But the silencer as well, like he hits his chest, what, two or three times and then like pumps the ground.
Yeah. You just did it then.
Why is it called the silencer for one?
Because it's shut up.
Is it? Okay, that could work. Yeah. And then like, how did he think that was the thing? What? Did he just do it one day and he was like, oh, that was kind of cool?
Okay, so all that's happening now for podcasters is that we're getting an insight into the inner workings of Tom Hanley's head.
It's turned into like a weird like aerobics class. Yeah, like Tom's now just doing the pushing down thing.
And the other three of us are just looking at him going, where do we go now? Yeah.
Or like the Rock the Baby, where did that one come from?
All right.
That was probably from an in-joke, I guess.
No, there's so much motion happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Rock the Baby, quite often it comes from someone who's just found out that their partner is going to have a baby or they just had a child. Yeah.
And they're telling him from like across the room is just like, hey,
someone should rock that celebration and like just a single guy, just like a guy with no baby coming and just like all the journalists are like scrambling to see whether he's having a child.
If you boys were going to steal like a celebration or like a 3-point celebration or something, what would it be?
Ooh.
Oh, can I go mine? Yeah. Mine's the Lopez.
I thought you'd say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which one's his?
It's where he pretends to sip. It's after he sips a three. It's the other Lopez that doesn't shoot threes often. So he pulls this one out on special occasions. Pretends to sip a tea with the pinky raise.
Yeah.
And then puts the teacup down and then dunks. Oh, no, he dunks the tea bag first, 1, 2, 3, and then goes, whoop, with the three sips. And it's great. It's great because he looks borderline homeless, but yet so elegant as he does it.
That's very cool.
I'd never seen that. That's excellent.
Well, he doesn't shoot threes off.
Yeah.
I like some. It was something that Ben Simmons did in high school, actually, when they were being announced. They'd announce his name, and you know he'd go out, look toward one of his teammates, and he'd do one of these ones, like he's eating.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Is that what that is?
Olga doesn't know who Ezekiel Elliott is.
Ezekiel Elliott plays for the Dallas Cowboys.
He does.
Whoa. Nice, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. But look, James Harden does the eat him up as well.
Yeah, he does that.
I thought Olga was going to use a biblical reference for sure when he was guessing who Ezekiel Elliott was.
He is a Corinthian. No, so that's I enjoy that. That was very cool. Because you're eating.
Mine's a personal one that I came up with, which actually weird, because I... Where did you come up with this? Here I just answered my own question.
Here we go.
It was when I was playing in Bathurst. It's a little bit like M15 plus, but you like hold the three, give a little scratch.
Horrible. Time to scratch his butt.
I'm so sad I saw that.
And then sniff the three.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Horrible.
Yeah. Can we change the subject?
Before we change the subject, Trae Young being Rookie of the Year, there's a bit of smoke around that at the moment.
The smoke that you speak of is Donovan Mitchell saying that Trae Young is Rookie of the Year.
He's usually wrong about who's going to be Rookie of the Year.
Also, he's not sure how he's
0 for 1. Yeah. So
he's not aware how it actually works either.
No,
not a rookie thing was not the point.
I bet Donovan Mitchell's called Trae Young. He's just like, bro, I've got the best like hoodie for you to wear.
Yeah.
He's like, no.
Not again.
Kyle Kuzma said it and Blake Griffin also said it. Mm. So they're three players who are wrong. And so, yeah, like we'll see. But it's Luka.
Here's one for you. Who's more is the Donk more likely to win Rookie of the Year than the Greek Freak is more likely to win MVP? Who's more likely to take over?
Doncic.
Because the Harden conversation is becoming a conversation. Yeah. Harden
dropped 60-some points.
61
points. And the Rockets are third in the West now. So
I
guess that makes a bit more sense.
I think I did a video on that. 60
points.
Yeah,
you would have done that.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fun stat for Harden. He was the first person to score 30 points against 29 teams in the NBA. Michael Jordan did it against every team he played against in 85-86, but there was fewer teams. He's also scored 40 points versus 14 teams this season.
Yeah. Impressive.
Just this season.
That's very impressive.
So many people, the majority of the people in the NBA now will never score 40 points in a game.
Another fun stat for you. He's only shooting 28.8% from three on Sundays.
Speaking. Okay. That's a good way to segue into Tom's segment where...
Do you have a name for this?
I don't know. Yeah.
Tom's segment.
Earlier, and anytime we mention Tom's segment, it's some absurd segment that he's just come up with.
Yeah.
And it's like... It's low-key interesting. So earlier today, I went over to his desk and I was like, Tom, what's up? Like, what do you want to talk about on the pod today? He's just like, well, look what I got here. So Tom, what do you have there?
Well, what I've got here is, it's a breakdown of some of the players across the league, probably the better players across the league, and the breakdown of their statistics on each day of the week.
Guys, there's so many pieces of paper.
There are heaps of pieces of paper, but also, have you been wrestling bears? What's the go of your hand, bro?
Oh, I fell off my skateboard when I was drunk the other day.
His hand is messed up.
Yeah. Got into a fight with a chimpanzee at the zoo.
Yeah, where? Yeah. You got that black blood too, boy.
See the other guy.
Your blood's the wrong colour.
Yeah, I don't know if it's getting infected. I did fall over twice.
Sorry, guys. So what do we got here, Thomas? What do you got?
I found a good one. All right. So
what's the Spencer Dinwiddie one?
The Spencer Dinwiddie one was that he hasn't played a single game on a Thursday this year. I genuinely think
that's very interesting.
It's very strange. Well, I think the fact that he missed a lot of time could come into that as well.
Like, if you're his mate, just like, hey, Spence, what are you doing on Thursday? Oh, probably
he's
nothing.
He's played 16 games on both Wednesdays and Fridays, but is yet to play a game on a Thursday.
Man.
That's interesting. I've got questions.
To add to that, he's averaging 23.8 points per game on Wednesdays compared to the 15 that he's averaging throughout the rest of the week.
Okay, and you said he's played 16 games on a Wednesday.
16 games on a Wednesday.
And that's
best day of the week.
That's a big sample size.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if he has like a daily schedule where he does certain things on certain days. Maybe Wednesday's just a day that maybe he's got yoga in the morning.
There's another trend to the Wednesday was Damian Lillard is averaging 28.4 points per game. But he's shooting 48% from three on Wednesdays compared to 31 on Tuesdays and 35 on Thursdays.
That is interesting.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
That's like, look, as much as it's
title, bro. It's got something to do with the moon.
As much as it's like
what are we doing? It's also, that's a genuine disparity.
It's strange.
This is the kind of thing where, like, I feel like Tom needs a scene where he's wearing like a tinfoil hat and we walk in,
we walk into the room and there's
strings connecting like Damian Lillard with the Illuminati with like...
I was thinking about when I saw Tom going through like just this myriad of papers. I was thinking about that gif from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Guys. Yeah. But like another
Don't
one
laugh,
for you.
Tom. We're concerned about
another one for you. So Giannis is having a very strong scoring year. He's averaging about 26 points a game.
Who are we talking about?
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Right,
yeah, I remember.
He's averaging 20.8 points per game on Tuesdays, shooting 7.7 from three. And he's shooting.
How many games has he played on a Tuesday?
Only six. But to put the 3.1 in the 3-point percentage into perspective, he's shooting nearly 40% on the weekend.
Oh wow! Because he's like shit at 3 points.
Yeah.
So 40% on the weekend is interesting.
Yeah, and there was another one with the weekend.
What's his season average this year?
I haven't actually got that here.
So you've got down the specific
weeks, but not his season. Yeah. They weren't next to each other.
You're using your big brain here, Tom. But you're also creating a big blind spot.
Oh, another good one that I found. Trae Young is shooting 15.8% from three on Thursdays.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. And there was one for the weekend. It was Russ.
A standalone stat.
He's shooting, what was it? yeah, he doesn't like playing on the weekend at all. So he's averaging throughout the week, averaging about 24, 25 points a game, except on the weekend, he's averaging 18.9 and 20.8 and 20.2 on Mondays.
Okay, that was too many numbers.
Three days of the weekends. Well, he's averaging about 20 points a game. He's averaging 6 points a game less over the weekend.
Yeah.
I wonder if that has a thing to do with his kid, in a way.
Maybe.
As well.
I mean, they're on the road.
What, like his kid gets off work or something?
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something.
This is what this makes me really glad that we're not in that country and have the ability to ask them questions consistently. Because I don't want to be in a locker room, which is being like, hey, Spence, how about them Thursdays?
Yeah.
So that's Tom's segment.
Yeah. Well, there's more.
No. We know there's more, but we can't go to more.
There's so much. Tom, that was Tom's segment.
Where was the best one? Where was the best one?
Hint, sent, delivered, not received.
Oh, can we one more. All right. So Miles Turner is averaging about 2.5 blocks per game throughout the week.
Sure.
Except he's averaging
over the season.
But he's averaging 4.3 blocks per game on Tuesdays. 4.3 blocks per game on Tuesdays.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Well, I'm really happy you stopped us moving on just
This isn't Miles the end, Turner. Guys. This is not the
it
end.
It is
no,
the end.
So, okay. Like, okay. For the rest of the season, I'm picking
okay,
this
okay.
up again.
Okay, okay, sure.
Picking this up again.
Okay.
And the, you know,
where are we?
Marvin Bagley loves playing on Tuesday.
Okay.
We can figure out if it actually works during the playoffs and actually see, like, compare them each week.
That's what I'm thinking. Does Spencer want to have lots of games on, what was the, I don't know.
Wednesdays.
What are the chances if the Nets get a lot of Wednesday games?
Okay. Or if the deciding game, like a game seven, comes on a Tuesday with the Bucks. They're screwed.
Okay. Absolutely nothing changes.
They're screwed.
I was gonna ask you something, but I don't wanna get in the weeds of this.
You don't wanna get in or get back in?
We're done.
Just get back in.
Also, LeBron hates playing on Tuesdays.
Oh god. Tom,
okay,
stop.
We get it.
All right, let's continue on.
Look, so one thing that will be a story for the rest of the season, obviously, is the back of the East.
West.
The back of the playoff portion of the East. So
basically West.
West.
Talking West.
Oh, no, we're talking West. That's my bad.
Talking West, baby.
That is your bad.
It is my bad. Yeah, speaking of the East, though, real quick, Jeremy Lamb, we saw his game winner today.
Oh, yeah.
From beyond half court.
Outrageous.
Very cool.
So much luck involved,
but
I like it.
The best part about that game winner was Kemba's reaction.
Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, he proper, like, as Lamb lets it go, he turns away in, like, disgust because he's like, man, we blew that late game opportunity, turns around to see it go in, and then he's just like...
Kyle Lowry's reaction.
This reminded me of
cool.
like that show Home Improvement. Do you guys remember that with Tim Allen?
When the dude goes over the fence.
Yeah. That sounds from an ooh.
That's a big win for who was that? Charlotte.
So it was for Charlotte. That sort of kept them in the playoff race.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And they beat the Celtics yesterday as well.
Yeah, they did.
Pretty huge.
They went on a 30-5 run against the Celtics.
Oh, in that I stopped watching that game.
Yeah, we'll
I thought
talk
it was
about
finished.
It yesterday. We both thought that was over.
Celtics were up maybe 20-ish, and I thought, okay, like, I'll start watching other games. I'll start watching NCAA tournament. No, Hornets came back. They won. Celtics have lost two in a row now, and they got mad again today.
Hornets are only two games out of the eighth spot in the East as well.
So that win could have kept them.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
In fact, there's a chance that it could have won them that eighth seed eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
by the way, we know there's drama in Boston. We're kind of choosing to ignore it because we've done the whole.
It's just always like,
Boston or boring.
There's drama in Boston, and then Kyrie does a thing that's shit, and then they win three games in a row, and Gordon Hayward plays well for two of them, and it's like,
we've literally spoken about every like variation that the Celtics have gone through, and they're just repeating these cycles.
Right. So it's just like we'll see you in the playoffs. Like,
yeah.
Legit.
Don't beat Philly in the first round. I hope that doesn't happen.
There's a good chance we might not even see that.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Hopefully not. Back into the Western Conference playoff race.
Yep.
So right now, somehow the Clippers are the fifth seed. That's happened. They've been playing really well. So if you're looking at the standings right now.
That's because Mo Williams is shooting 58% from three on Fridays.
Yes, that is why. That is why. So look, from the fifth seed down to the eighth seed, you got the Clippers, Thunder, Jazz, and Spurs.
Mm.
Right? They're effectively that you got one game separating those four teams.
They're all in the playoffs.
The Kings are too far back.
Yeah, yeah.
As in effectively, technically no. But the Kings aren't
they're mathematical.
In and you've got like Portland two games ahead of the Clippers, but I feel like
we're just going to leave
Portland out from this discussion.
Mm. Yeah, but like you know. Spurs, who are in eighth and are also probably the informed team in the NBA.
They're the hottest team in the league.
Mm. The Spurs, I've got it here. They're 12 and 2 over their last 14 games.
Yeah. They won on that 9-game win streak.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're a very good team right now.
They had a rough patch just after Christmas.
Yeah.
Where it was like, we were asking the question, will the Spurs make it? I'm pretty sure it was unanimous. We all said yes. I think it's like, they haven't made the playoffs four times in the last 45 years and only once in the last 30, and that was when David Robinson went out for the season.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're doing what they do. And they could also, like I said, finish in the fourth. They're two wins outside of fourth. But the thing that stands out to me...
Three wins outside of fourth.
Okay, my bad.
You're good.
So, three wins. So when I look at the ladder and I see OKC in sixth, like to me, the same way that we look at these eight teams and say they're our playoff teams, that's how I looked at OKC when they were in third or fourth for the majority of the season. I thought that's where they were going to stay. I thought they were going to be a dominant team, someone that could challenge the Warriors, take them to six, maybe even seven if they met them in the second round or even the conference finals. But the fact that they've dropped off, I mean, they're 4-6 over their last 10. And you have a look at not only the Spurs, but how well the Clippers are going.
They're nine and one
over their last 10.
That's unreal.
The Jazz are 7-3 over their last 10. Like all these teams that we knew were good at the start of the year, but made us doubt our own thoughts, have come good.
Yep.
Like we knew the Jazz were going to be good. Clippers, not so much.
They traded away Tobias Harris, and they've only gotten better.
All they have done is surprise us for the whole season.
Yeah.
Big ups to Doc Rivers as well.
I was going to say a lot of these teams that are having really good pushes towards the end have really like stapled good head coaches like Doc Rivers, Greg Popovich, and this guy's I've lost his name at the second. The Jazz guy,
Quinn Snyder.
Yeah. Like all great coaches, and the best thing about coaches do is like I think it's Bill Belichick that says in the NFL, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
It's in his book, yeah.
Yeah, and these guys are making a huge push. Whereas Billy Donovan in the Thunder. Day. Sorry, what was that?
I think that was in my fortune cookie the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's a common saying.
Yeah,
Bill Belichick get that?
He writes fortune cookies in his book.
So we thought we'd have a quick look at the back end of that Western Conference as far as the playoff race. Because when you look at the run home for each of those four teams, so we're talking about the Clips, Thunder,
Jazz, Spurs.
Right. You know, I look at the Spurs end of season schedule, and it looks really easy.
They need to be at home because it doesn't matter who they play away, they still struggle.
So look, there are eight games left. It's half and half, home and away.
It's at Charlotte,
and then versus Cleveland, versus Sacramento, versus Atlanta. You know,
I like that.
Right. And then it's at Denver, so that's iffy.
because Denver's good and humidity is also a thing apparently up there, or altitude.
Altitude.
And then, I don't know, and then at Washington, at Cleveland, and then versus Dallas.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of teams that want to lose and are just not that good.
I can see him going 5-8. Like, even though those lesser teams on the road, Spurs do struggle on the
road. Wait, 5-8?
Yeah, 5.
Okay,
so,
yes,
so,
yes.
So, sorry.
No, I'm wrong. Thinking.
5-8.
Yeah, yeah.
But even that, that could, given that the OKC don't really know what's wrong with them at the moment, is that fair to say?
Okay, but I just want to, like, on that, on the OKC thing, it's like, yes, they've kind of run into a bit of a wall going 4-6, but they've only been brought back to the pack because the Spurs went 8-2, the Grizzlies went 9-1,
exactly right.
The Jazz went 7. Like, they're on, those three teams are like three of the most informed teams in the NBA. The crazy Absolutely. Thing about the Spurs, just a side note, is that they're 43-31 in the eighth seed in the West. The Celtics are 43-31, sitting comfortably in the East in the fifth seed, like still in with a chance for the fourth.
Yeah.
That's the disparity between the West and East. I actually thought it was going to change this season, and I don't know why I thought that way, but I figured it'd be a bit closer.
Yeah.
It just wasn't. If you look at the East, the difference between the number one seed and the number eight seed, you got 17 and a half games.
Yeah, but
it's seven and a half.
Why it's closer, I think, is that there's more competitive teams in the East this year. Like the top four of the East, that they would threaten like the top six positions in the West.
Yeah.
Whereas last year, like, we knew the Raptors were phony. do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. we knew they weren't going to beat the Cavs. And then who else was challenging outside of the Cavs? Boston were impressive, but with no Kyrie and no Haywood, and with them being so young, they punched above their weight last year.
Same with the
Sixers. There was no real competitors for a title in the East last year outside of the Cavs. But this year, those top four teams and even the Celtics, I'll say four of the top five teams because no one can see the Pacers getting out of the East. But those other four teams, they could.
I feel like
it's a big change.
I feel like we've said it for a while as well, that when you look at both conferences, it's as wide open as I can remember it. From, you know, when you look at the East, you don't know who's going to get out of it. There are four teams who, if they got out of the East, it'd be like, sure, definitely. With the West, I get you have the Warriors up there and they've had their ups and downs, but they're the Warriors, so you kind of separate them. But from the number two seed to the number eight seed, I wouldn't be surprised if it's any of those teams in the conference finals.
Yeah.
Because if I'm the Warriors or the Nuggets, I don't want to, or the Rockets, if anyone, I don't want to go against the Spurs.
Absolutely.
I don't want to play the Spurs right now.
No.
Even the Warriors. If it was Warriors-Spurs and the Spurs won that series, I wouldn't be completely surprised at this point.
It'd be a big story.
Oh, no, it'd be a big story. I'd be somewhat surprised, but it wouldn't be an absolute shock.
Yeah. By the way, like, there were people at the start of the season saying Celtics were going to get to, like, what, like 65 wins probably?
Bill Simmons had them at over 60.
They need to go.
Okay.
So they've played 74 games already. They got 43 wins. They need to go 7-1 to just get to 50.
Dang.
Wow.
And they're not doing that.
Nope.
Tony Kornheiser at the start of the year had the Lakers getting 50 plus wins. So. He's been following sport for 65 years.
He says he's been following sport.
So look, the back end of that West is going to be something interesting to watch. I know we only went through the Spurs end of season schedule. Basically every team, all four of those teams have a relatively easy schedule.
I really like Utah's.
Yeah, Utah's will come. It'll be fun towards the end when they got Denver and the Clippers at the end of that. It's going to be
there's a lot of comfortable games. So they got home versus Phoenix, home versus Lakers, home versus Wizards, home versus Charlotte, who will be a bit tough, but I still rate their chances.
I think that Utah Clippers game in the last, I don't know if it's the last day or the second last day of the season, will be one of the bigger.
It has to have ramifications.
It'd be a lot of fun.
It's so tough.
It's almost like was it the Timberwolves game last year when they had to win? It was like, against the Nuggets. Denver, against the Nuggets. It was when it makes the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what's so easy to forget about this Denver team that currently is, a game and a half out of the first spot.
Yep.
They did not make the playoffs last year with basically the exact same team, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah.
Put a lot of word to Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah. Man, that's weird. Isaiah Thomas just out of rotation. I still can't believe that.
That's sad.
That's just like the crazy fall from grace.
He's literally gone to going on Twitter and be like, "Hey guys, is there any open gyms around Indiana? I'm coming to play."
I saw that. Yeah. He just played in a gym.
Is that
a joke?
No, he did that.
Did he actually tweet that? Or?
Yeah, because
I saw the video of him just in a gym.
Yeah, he's been doing it every city they go to. He's just like, "Ah, screw it."
That's kind of awesome. I like that.
Yeah, he's getting
paid.
At
the same time, though, he has one of the most inflated ideas of oneself, like, out of anyone I've ever, like...
He's a little man syndrome.
No, he thinks he's a superstar. He thinks in his current state, he is a superstar in the NBA.
My man. He said Celtics would have won if...
They would have won a ring if he was still there. I'm like, sorry, man.
No, that's the equivalent of like saying, yeah, they'd win if I won a ring. If they'd win a ring if I was there. You can just say whatever you want.
Right. And that is a thing.
Like, say it, Ted. I'll back you.
Thanks, man.
I always compare Isaiah Thomas to Jerome Randle because from a mentality standpoint, they're the same thing.
They look fairly similar too.
Right. And
stature and wise.
Yeah, Jerome Randle's maybe 5'9", so they have the same mentality where they're the best player in the world, and if you get to see a smaller guard like that play in person, it's awesome. Like it's what smaller guards can do is sick.
I remember seeing Nate Robinson when I was in New York, and there's like this during the warm ups. There's like this huge tower of tall people, and then you see this little guy just bounce through the middle of it and throw it down. And you're like, what the hell was that?
Well, the problem with Isaiah is that he thinks that his Boston days was like his coming out party as a superstar. The problem was there was a very obvious ceiling to what that Boston team could achieve with Isaiah being the superstar. Plus, he's a conditional superstar because the only way it works is if you give him the keys to the offense, you draw up plays every single play. It's how do we get him open and him open shots, because it doesn't work when he's just a part of a team.
Yeah, no coach now is going to tailor their offense to a 32-year-old guy who says he's 5'9", but is probably 5'7".
100% 5'7". And we've seen the best of
with,
him. We've
with
seen
a, with
what
a busted hip.
Yeah.
And clearly isn't as athletic as he was. And his shooting percentages are down as well, which could come back with fitness. But again, no one's going to tailor their whole offense around a dude who's washed up is harsh, but it's probably accurate as well.
At the end of the day, though, I would not be surprised if somehow we had an Isaiah Thomas game in these playoffs. I feel like there'll be one where Monte Morris ain't playing well.
I'd love to see it.
Isaiah Thomas gets on and he just balls out.
I'm off the Isaiah Thomas 16 points.
Aw.
Yep.
You look really upset about that. I'm not upset about that, but you look angry at him.
I'm sick of it.
Aw. last thing we'll touch on, I think, is NCAA tournament, which is we're heading into the Sweet 16 now.
I didn't notice it swings by pretty quickly.
They don't muck around.
Look, this tournament hasn't been
It's been mad, hasn't it?
It's March too. Yeah. Oh, nice.
Wait a second.
Look, it hasn't been an amazing tournament, except for just a couple. You know,
today's game was
a
wild.
Few standouts, right? So the first Ja Morant game was very cool to watch.
Yep.
And just this Duke UCF game was very cool. Do we have any thoughts on anything?
I have one.
Hit me.
So there's been like the main narratives have been like Ja Morant, Zion, and then Taco Fall, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like Zion, number one, projected number one pick. Ja Morant, projected number two pick. Taco Fall, not going to the NBA.
No, no.
Just really tall man. Like the fact that we still get excited about a really tall person after watching basketball for years, and there's been so many really tall people, is kind of funny to me.
I'd just like to point out that the University of Tennessee Volunteers into the Sweet 16.
Yeah, they are.
Number two or three seed?
Yeah, number two seed. Probably would have been a one seed if we didn't lose the SEC Championship game to, I think it was like Alabama or Auburn, someone trash.
Wow.
Yeah, smashed too. But it's worked out all right, playing Purdue in the next game.
Which team drafts Ja Morant? Does he go at number two? Because the Suns have the next, they have the second best odds in the lottery. Is he their point guard that they've been waiting for?
Yep.
If they can take him at two. But like the draft lottery, the odds now are so slim.
It's 12.5. 12.5 for the best odds you can get, I think.
I think it's, wasn't it like the top,
14.
The top three share 14% or something like that?
Yeah, the top three share 14%.
But I think now there's only like a 27% chance or something of getting one or two if you finish with the worst record, which is crazy. Like it's honestly not that smart to tank anymore. Like you're still going to have to get lucky.
So like everyone who talks about the Knicks drafting Zion because the Knicks are the worst team in the NBA, that's just, it's still a pipe dream.
Think
I get it because of the market. But it is a pipe dream.
I think in some way that the lottery is rigged.
Some years it is.
Like the Lakers just happen to win when they need it.
And the Celtics. And the frozen envelope with the Knicks one as well.
Yeah.
I like how you just throw it out there.
I think it's rigged.
I'm pretty sure it is. End of sentence. Like, the Knicks will get the number one pick.
Yeah, so you know Zion's those podcasts that go really big where it's like unearthing either a conspiracy or a crime or something like that? I feel like we need to do like this an NBA conspiracy theory podcast.
Stuff you need to know about the NBA.
Yeah, we can go through LeBron's like collusion with all the other teams that he's played for and how they're like worked out draft picks to get, you know, the best teams to where he is. That's another one.
How boring is LeBron James?
The day of the week.
You're making me hate days of the week. I hate Monday through Sunday.
The 2008 draft where the Bulls were somehow in a position to draft their hometown kid, Derrick Rose. Like they were not supposed to be that anywhere close to that number one pick.
Yeah.
But they somehow got it.
It was nice LeBron ended up at Cleveland too. Yeah, you might be onto something.
A little too convenient, isn't
but
it?
But the bad one was when the Celtics and the Lakers got one and two spot in the Lonzo draft or whatever it was.
Or when the Clippers got the first pick with Blake Griffin and they had his jersey on the inside of the jacket. Is that just good planning?
Wait, Blake Griffin had it?
No, the owner of the team. He was like, check it out. And had Blake Griffin.
But if he already... the draft...
The number one pick.
Wait, are you talking about draft night or...
No, it was at the lottery.
At the lottery.
It was just wishful thinking then.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Sorry, it could have gone really badly. Yeah. That'd be
quite funny.
How long have we gone for? I feel like this is a well-timed pod.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you feel that way, but I've got no idea.
This is for our audience. This is what we talk about behind the scenes.
And when he says behind the scenes, when we're at our desk, just doing this.
Yeah.
This is what we do, eh? It's like, hey, man, see what's on the TV. And then we just talk about it.
I mean, to be honest, like we get into this podcast room and chat absolute crap for about what? It was like 30, 45 minutes today.
It was at least 40 minutes.
Before we start recording. Yeah.
And it's funny because after 8 minutes, the first time Olgan said, are we ready to record? That's when it happened, after 8 minutes. Yeah. And then 40 minutes after that.
I ate and then got hungry again.
Yeah. We smashed
so many Tim
95% of a packet of Tim Tams.
There's one left. And no one wants it because Tom's counting.
11. Why are there 11?
Why ask that question?
Not now.
Why is there 11 Tams?
So, yeah, we have chats before the pod.
Yeah,
and then hopefully it carries over into a great pod, which we hope you've enjoyed.
Mm.
I'm happy with it, Olgs.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
We'll definitely run this pod.
Yay.
I don't know. I think that's where we're going to end it too.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to go. March Madness is upon us and it's...
Tips for winners before we leave?
NCAA tournament.
Might be done before NX pod.
I mean, my DePaul Blue Demons aren't in it, so I don't.
That's coming from the guy that didn't know their nickname the first time we brought this up.
Because I accidentally called them the Blue Devils.
Blue Devils.
Yeah. I've got to go with Tennessee and just hope.
Sure.
The Volunteers.
I think after today, you can't really be so sure on Duke anymore either.
Because it's easy to defend them because you just defend Zion and RJ and then let the others do what they want.
Like, they don't run a very good offense at all.
No, not at all.
It's super boring to watch and kind of lame. Like, they just kind of run around the top while Zion's just going back and forth, being like, give me the ball. And then after a while, he was really heavily guarded. They just threw it as high as possible, and then he grabbed it because he can.
So they can do that.
Yeah, I know, but it's not a good basketball offense coming from a coach that's been the best coach in college basketball.
Literally 80% of your starters, it's the first time they're playing – like as men against other men, and when I say men, 18-year-olds, like they're all freshmen, you know.
But most teams have, like, the Kentucky team has usually.
Tennessee doesn't have one freshman on their start.
Really?
No, they're all.
I like that.
Sophomores or third or fourth years.
Yeah, Michigan State usually does that too.
Yeah,
they retain guys very well. Mm,
yeah, you got two kinds of cells. You got guys who want to play 4 years, get a college degree, and be good technical fundamental. Basketball players, and then you got the guys on Duke and Kansas.
And Kentucky.
But Duke had a few good 4-year guys.
I always get Kentucky and Kansas mixed up.
The 4-year Duke guys don't go anywhere, though.
No. JJ Redick did.
There are anomalies, yes.
Yeah. Was Christian Laettner a 4-year guy? He went nowhere.
Christian Laettner, he didn't live up to the hype of his college career, but he played like almost 10 seasons in the NBA.
Still in the Hall of Fame as well. Just because he was on that team.
Not individually.
Yeah, just because on that dream team.
NCAA tournament's on. Go ahead and watch that, I guess.
And if you haven't seen it, have a look at the Laettner match winner. As well on YouTube because it's one of the best basketball shots of all time.
So, lots of people have seen that.
Yeah, but
like
if you haven't, you're welcome.
It's pretty cool.
if you like the podcast, go and give us a review.
Rate us, review us.
It does help.
Yeah.
Subscribe.
I mean, give us 5 stars, but feel free to give us any constructive criticism on our character flaws, what you like and don't like, about individuals, about Tom specifically.
Now, that's a good point. Give us 5 stars and then rip into us.
Absolutely. Say what you want. We will enjoy that.
Speaking of me, follow my new hat brand. Follow my new hat brand on Instagram. It's called Tom's Tops. We're coming pretty big.
Is that legit?
Check it out. Yeah.
No, it's not legit. It's the same as, what was your culinary one?
I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, it wasn't real, so it doesn't matter.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, so with Fox Sports Basketball and at Fox Basketball on Twitter. So go ahead and follow us, like us, all that jazz. We're all individually on Twitter as well. Just search our respective names and you'll find us.
I think I'm at Ted from LPAC.
LPAC.
Ted went with branding for the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, is that what? Oh, LPAC's our podcast.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Tom. On that note,
See you guys. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.